We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. We'll be with you here for the full four. We are asking you to download the new Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in your car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station in this particular show. How do you do it? Odyssey.com app's the way to go. Put that on one of your devices today, right? Take that smartphone, the Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Laserdisc, Commodore 64, Walkman, Intellivision. I don't know what your device is. Just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Hit me up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We have our dual producers here with you on a Thursday night. We've got Jarvis on the other side of the glass at Jarvis D90. He'll be asking the questions later on for Rankum, as we will not be with you tomorrow night, so we will squeeze that in with you. And, of course, we've got our guy on Thursdays, Bo Johnson, with us here as well. We have a lot to get into with you here this evening. We are watching as we're headed down the final little bit here of first day of Masters coverage. Good to see the tournament back in its rightful place here in the early part of April. Justin Rose is just rolling right along right now. Has more than doubled the field as Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama are both at 3 under. But Rose sitting at 7 under right now. He's been magnificent in what has been a tough course today. Two things. One is guys are all over the course today. DeChambeau, Rory, and take your pick. You got guys just all over in pine straw, in azalea beds, under dogwoods, in this thicket brush over here. Rory's hitting his dad with shots. I mean, it's just everybody's all over the place today. So one is, you know, staying on the fairway just to even, you know, give yourself a decent second shot has been one of the big keys. Wind has played a factor, been about 8 to 10 miles an hour out there, so it has been pushing the ball around a little bit. And the greens, which we knew going in, we knew it would be fast, but compared to what it was last fall, you know, Dustin Johnson won with 20 under in the fall. You know, if Justin Rose can keep pace, he's going to have a monster weekend, but I'm not sure, you know, this course is going to allow for all that. So, you know, you may see half that score end up winning the Masters when all is said and done, but putting is at a premium. Greens are fast. It's like glorified concrete at times on some of those greens out there today. So it's playing fast. It's playing quick when you get the ball on the green and guys are just fighting, scratching, clawing all over the place for it. So it's been fun. I mean, it's been obviously good to see the Masters back, like I said, in its rightful place here at the early part of spring and everything going on around it. You know, obviously, what, it was only six months ago, I guess it was, when the Masters last took place. So it's going to be a fun weekend. I would guess that ratings will be really, really high for this weekend. I think guys are ready to get back to watching the tournament, and gals too, I should say. You know, both, everybody kind of getting ready to get back and watch this tournament. We will talk to our buddy Will Gray. He's our go-to guy, former writer for the Golf Channel. We will talk to him coming up a little bit later on in the hour, get his thoughts about what's going to happen this weekend, what's going on, and, of course, round number one today and what we've been watching thus far. So, you know, look, other than Justin Rose, it's just been fighting, scratching, clawing for guys, you know, trying to keep the ball on the fairway, coming off the tee, trying to make a putt. You know, it's all been in a premium. Bryson DeChambeau, if you're not a big DeChambeau fan, man, he has shown you more little areas of Augusta that you never see in trees and pine straw and bushes and over by TV cameras that aren't even supposed to be seen. And if you want to see like nooks and crannies of the course that you never get to see at Augusta, just follow Bryson DeChambeau's round today because he's been everywhere. Rory was like that too for a while today. Rory hit a shot where he hit his dad. That's a true story, by the way, Rory. Rory had an errant shot that ended up whacking his dad. I think in the leg. I think his dad got whacked in the leg by a ball out there. And his caddy saw it right away and said something to Rory for it. So it's, you know, putting and being in the fairway is at a premium. So if you've got a good short game this weekend, you're going to go a long way. And look, a couple of guys that are, at least one of the guys that I like Webb Simpson. He's becoming, you know, I think my guy for this tournament. I think that's where I'm leaning. He shot 2-under today, but just I thought his short game helped him out, keep the ball in the fairway, a little bit more strategy involved in it. So we'll talk to Will Gray and get his thoughts as well. We got our buddy Jason Longshore coming up at the 9 o'clock hour as Atlanta United continues after a successful first match in CONCACAF. We'll get back at it. There is a new member of Atlanta United. They announced the signing today. So we will talk to our buddy Jason Longshore and get caught up on all things Atlanta United coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. And as we head toward the weekend, it is WrestleMania weekend, the spectacle that will be happening both Saturday and Sunday night. Again, a two-night extravaganza this year. And they will have 25,000 fans in attendance each night. So a little bit more than the Super Bowl. That was what I had heard was the internal goal was, as long as they had one more person than the Super Bowl, then they were going to be satisfied with that. So the crowd is expected to be 25,000 on Saturday, 25,000 on Sunday for the event. We will hear from the current WWE Intercontinental Champion, Big E, as he's taking on Apollo Crews coming up on Sunday. His match will be on Sunday of the two-night event. So Big E is going to join us a little bit later on. We'll hear from him at 8:20. And give some WrestleMania thoughts then as well. So as we said, a busy, busy show. A couple of other things going on. Hawks and Braves off tonight. Yeah, not been a great start for the Atlanta Braves, but hard for me to get panicked or get too much concern after six games. Obviously swept the doubleheader yesterday. That was a good thing. Got their first two wins of the year. So, okay, now take on Philadelphia. The Phillies are going to be with them on the Sunday night. That's the Sunday night ESPN game is Philly and Atlanta. So get back on track. Again, six games in, what do you want to say? Panic? Just, you know, the season's over? Trade everybody? Fire everybody? What? It's six games of a baseball season. And by the way, this is not in case you don't know, you've been living under a rock, they're not playing 60 this year, right? Everybody knows that, right? They're playing 162 this year. So even at six games, it was 10% of the season. What's six out of 162? Here's your answer. Not much. Okay? So, again, I don't know what you want to say. I had some people on Twitter. Oh, what is he going to say? What are you going to say about six games? What do you say? Yeah, we need to see more offense. Yeah, Max Fried's not been lights out. Okay. Max Fried's got 27 more starts to try to figure it out. The Braves are down to 156 games left to try to figure out their offense. Okay, all right, They'll be all right. They still have tons of talent. Ronald Acuna's off to a really nice start. I told you he's going to be 40-40 this year. He's going to be a 40-40 guy this year. I think this is something that he really wants to get done this year, so I think that's going to happen. So, all right. I mean, we'll let it play out a little bit. Hawks, meanwhile, rolling right along. They've got the Bulls coming up tomorrow night. And, look, lost last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, but, you know, Hawks have been, you know, what can you say? I mean, have the Hawks overachieved? Yeah, probably a little bit. Probably a little bit. You know, they're two games above 500. I was hoping for 500 with maybe a game or two above. But they sit in the 5 seed right now. And I've asked, just be the 4 or 5 seed. I would love for them to be the 4 or 5 seed. And number one, you avoid the play-in. Number two is you avoid the first three teams in the Eastern Conference. And right now, if you had Charlotte and Atlanta, okay, could the Hawks win that series? Yeah. Yeah, Hawks could very much win that series and be in the second round. And, yeah, then, you know, they take on Brooklyn or Philly or Milwaukee or one of those. Okay, then, you know, it is what it is. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about the Hawks, their coaching situation coming up in the next segment. But Hawks and Braves back at it tomorrow night. Hawks, of course, right here on Sports Radio after the game with a 7:30 pregame and an 8 o'clock tip-off. Horrible, horrible story today. Just a former NFL player. Former Atlanta Falcon, former Atlanta Falcon Phillip Adams was involved in a horrific situation where he shot five people, killed a doctor that had treated him in the past, the doctor's wife, the two grandkids of the doctor, and then also killed, an air conditioner worker. There were two air conditioning workers that was there. One of those guys was shot as well, and the other person was in critical condition with the quote, fighting hard for his life, unquote, added. I was watching some of the press conference today. What a horrible situation. Obviously, we'll learn more about this story as time goes on. Adam spent the 2015 season here in Atlanta. I think he started like three or four games that season, which was his last year in the NFL. But, they didn't really give any kind of motive or thought when the cops found him. I think if they found him at was he at his parents' house? I think it was where he shot himself. The police surrounded the place, and he put a gun to his head and shot himself. But what a horrible situation. You have a doctor, his wife, two grandkids, an air conditioner worker, and potentially another life that could be lost when all is said and done. But just a horrible story coming out. So I guess we'll learn more about what had gone on with Phillip Adams, who did, like I said, spend a year here in Atlanta. And also quickly, too, speed, we know, was a factor in the Tiger Woods crash. Now, what's being reported is that Tiger was literally going twice the speed limit when he crashed his SUV in a stretch of road that has a reputation for being difficult to navigate, and many, many wrecks have happened there. Since January alone, there have been 13 accidents on that stretch of road of Hawthorne between Silver Spur Road and Palos Verdes Drive North. According to reports, it's believed that Tiger was driving somewhere between 80 and 85 miles an hour on that stretch of road. Now, if this is all the case, you just shake your head, man. I don't get some of these guys. I really don't. It's just so silly and so ridiculous. You know, first of all, Why in a community area do you feel like you have to drive that fast? I'm just curious. What goes through your mindset that feels like you have to drive 80 or 85 miles an hour in a situation like that? You go on the highway, on an open highway, okay, I drive 80, 85 at times on the open highway. But you get in some of these areas, and I don't know whether or not he knew that area was bad for accidents or what have you, but still, you're talking about a community area. It's ridiculous. You know, so not a good situation, as Tiger obviously not part of the Masters, and who knows when he will be back for all of it, but just ridiculous to hear that kind of story and some of the speeds that are being reported for all of it. All right, when we get back, should the Hawks send a message and lock their coach up now? We'll talk about that next. Chuck, we're hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening, Sports Radio Not to the Game, and on the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studios on a Thursday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. We already got Rankum list coming in already at 720. I love it. So you can hit us up with that as well. Our buddy Bo Johnson in studio here today as well, as Hawks will get back at it tomorrow night. Braves as well. Of course, they will take on the Philadelphia Phillies and a big weekend series. And, of course, they will be the Sunday night game on ESPN. Hawks tomorrow, they will be here in State Farm Arena to take on the Chicago Bulls. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip, as Steve Holman and Mike Conley will be on the call. Hawks, we said, sitting in the sixth spot right now in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. And since the coaching change officially took place, Nate McMillan is 13-5 with the Hawks. Now, he was, 2-1 with them in the interim, you know, when Lloyd Pierce was out for when he had his second child. So 13-5 in the 18-game stretch where he's taken over as head coach for the Atlanta Hawks this year. The question now becomes, has he done enough to lock this job up? Of course, we know the story about, or at least we know some of the rumor and innuendo going around about the fact that players did not like, the younger players especially, did not like how hard Lloyd Pierce was being on them. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, second-year guys in the NBA, you kind of have to be tough on those guys. Those guys are learning, and they've not really adapted to the NBA game. I mean, not everybody, again, comes in as LeBron James when you come into the NBA. A lot of guys have a big learning curve that's involved in it. And players really rallied around the idea of Nate McMillan, who was brought in as an assistant coach and we know is very loyal to Lloyd Pierce and, of course, had plenty of head coaching experience previously. Has Nate McMillan done enough to warrant being the head coach of this team? I would think so. I mean, especially if we're talking about a team that could be, you know, a 4, 5, 6 seed in the Eastern Conference. We all came into this season with the idea that we wanted this team to be a playoff team. Whatever that record is, I didn't really care too much about what the record was. We talked about what the record probably needed to be for them to be a playoff team, but I didn't really care about what the record was as long as we're talking about making a playoff appearance. Well, now we're talking about being a playoff team that one could potentially avoid one of the big three in the Eastern Conference, which I do think is important because especially if you're talking about, hey, you know, let's get through a round number one and let's see some winning playoff basketball. It doesn't guarantee anything, but certainly the Hawks could beat the Hornets in an NBA series. So it's not as though that Charlotte is any kind of juggernaut or anything like that. So the Hawks could certainly, if they, you know, were the home team, maybe they got the 4 seed and they sit at home. Yeah, they'd probably be favored to win that series as well. And obviously right now you've got a team that is built around its young players. With or without John Collins, they're still going to move forward, obviously, with Trae Young, DeAndre Hunter, and Cam Reddish, and Kevin Huerter, and some of these guys. And you still have Capella around, and obviously they just signed Bogdanović and Gallinari. So, and then, you know, if and how or what happens with the draft this year. Okongwu, of course, is a rookie this year with the number 6 overall pick. I don't know what to make of what he's going to be or not be. You know, maybe next year he goes from 8 minutes a night to 13 minutes a night. I don't know. We'll see what he can do. But certainly this team has responded to whatever spark Nate McMillan has brought them. Now, look, you figure you're going to get a little bit of a bump when a new guy comes in. Just if players are unhappy, they're going to play a little bit harder, this, that, and the other. For a franchise, though, that doesn't have a lot of success around it, and for a franchise that is built around its young core of players, I think the smart move is to go ahead and lock Nate McMillan up now. Now, do the Hawks want to do their due diligence? Probably. I'm sure the Hawks want to do their due diligence. But if you're telling me that they're not signing Nate McMillan with the job that he's done this far, then what is it that the Hawks are looking for? Because here's a guy that's got NBA coaching experience. Now, where he's faltered, of course, has been in his playoff run. Now, 3 of the 4 years when he was at Indiana, they got swept in their playoff series. His playoff record at Indiana, by the way, was 3-16. So his playoff record has been dreadful. But let's put it like this. That's not massively or critically important for this season and maybe next year, but certainly not for this season. I'm not worried about what the Hawks can or cannot do in the playoffs. Would I like to see them be a 4 or 5 seed and avoid one of the top three teams or avoid the play-in? Yes. I'd much rather see that. I'd much rather they have a solidified spot in the playoffs and they don't have to play Philadelphia, Brooklyn or Milwaukee and increase their chances of potentially winning. Doesn't mean that they will, but certainly I'd rather play the Charlotte Hornets than I would rather play Philly, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee, which I think all but guarantees you that you're not going to win a playoff series. Anything can happen, but let's be realistic. You know, it's a team that's only a couple of games over 500. Given the injuries and stuff, okay, good enough for what they've done. But I think it makes sense to put a shot in the arm for your team the rest of the way and moving forward and not have this game. Because what happens if you don't? What happens if we turn right back around with this young core and we go right back in the situation? Forget about whether John Collins is here or not. Forget about whether he's here or not. As I said, you still have a big piece of this team that is your young core of players that you're building around. And why not continue to make them happy and turn it on to them and say, okay, now we've given you guys what you wanted. Now we expect you to go out there and produce. Now go get it done for us out there. Because if you're not bringing Nate McMillan back, then you have to tell me you're upgrading. It can't be some random assistant that's out there that people like, because you just did that. That's the guy you just fired, right? The guy you just fired was the, hot assistant and this, that, and the other. And, he's coming from a team that, had to rebuild. And, frankly, they underachieved as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't think Philly's achieved nearly as much as what they should have, especially when they had, Ben and Embiid and Jimmy Butler and, all those guys from just a couple of years ago or 2 years ago, I guess it was. So if you're not bringing McMillan back, then you got to be telling me that they're upgrading by stealing somebody's current NBA coach. So who is that? Who's that guy that the Hawks are going to steal? And let's face it, I can't speak for Tony Ressler as far as what we think that his financial commitment to a coach is, but they ain't offering Phil Jackson money to somebody to come here and be a head coach. I don't get that sense. Does anybody else get the sense that they're going to pony up big money to be a coach? So why not go ahead and lock Nate McMillan up now? Why not make that move now and reward him and move forward? And I'm not telling you got to give him you want to give him a 3-year deal? Give him a 3-year deal to be here. But certainly he's done enough now, and certainly unless you have a current guy on your radar that you're going to tell me is going to come in here and really take this team to the next level in one more year, what's the direction that you're going to go? What would be the direction that you're trying to look for? So obviously the Hawks have played well under Nate McMillan. They've obviously, like I said, in a sense they've overachieved. Not so much with what their one loss actual record is, but at least where their standing is in the Eastern Conference right now. If you told me before the start of the season that the Hawks would be potentially a 4, 5, or 6 seed, you'd take that all day long. And if you told me that the Hawks would be a 4 or 5 seed, you jump for joy for all of that. Doesn't mean that they're a great team. Doesn't mean that the Eastern Conference is loaded up for bear, whatever. But it tells me that you're going in the right direction. And part of that right direction has been under the guidance of Nate McMillan. And obviously there's something there that the players have responded to because they've played as if this is the guy that we want to play around. And if you had a group of guys that was already disenchanted or disenfranchised with the previous guy, then mentally lock this guy up. And then we'll worry about the playoff run. You know, then not so much this year, but as we move forward next year and the year after, then we'll start to evaluate, okay, is this the guy who can take this team to the next level? Because, yeah, if the Hawks finish 4-5-6 in the East next year, then the expectation is going to be somewhere to be around that. I still don't think the Hawks, unless you tell me that they are going to grab a top flight, top of player, I don't believe that they're going to crack into Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn just yet. I think that's a couple of years away. And especially depending on what they decide to do with John Collins. You know, from that aspect of it, if they don't bring back John Collins, if somebody offers him max, and well, somebody will offer him max, and the Hawks say no, we're not going to match that. Okay, then you got to take your resources and go get somebody and maintain. And yeah, okay, maybe that chipping into one of the top three teams in the East gets delayed by a year or so. But if you bring Collins back, okay, 4-5 in the East, then you know by that next year, okay, it's time to start making a real move in the Eastern Conference and being one of the top teams. So the Hawks are not on a, you know, panic mode, or, you know, this isn't like the 60-win team where you knew that that tenure of that group of guys was going to end rather quickly. It was going to end sooner rather than later because Millsap was going to be gone soon. Bazemore had a bad contract. You know, Horford was getting older and less productive. You could see signs on the wall that said, okay, this is not a franchise that has got the arrow pointed upward and trending upward in the right direction. And they certainly weren't going to overcome LeBron James. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. But this franchise at this point in time is different. And so, to me, it makes sense to lock up Nate McMillan now, let everybody know he's your permanent head coach, at least for the next few years, and let's ride this thing out and see what happens. And now turn it around and put it on the players. Okay, guys, we've got your guy. We've made the moves in the offseason to upgrade the roster. We've gotten rid of the guy you didn't want as head coach. We've got this guy that you like and want to be the head coach, and now we've locked him up. Now it's on you, Trey. Now it's on you, John. Now it's on you, Kevin, DeAndre, Cam, whoever. Start listing down all the names. And, yeah, when we start talking about the Hawks, even tomorrow night, every night it seems like with the Hawks, you got to read the injury report, right? We know John Collins won't be part of it. We don't know if Capella's going to be back. You know, Hunter, I mean, obviously – with the Hawks, it's a walking wounded report every night. That's the first thing everybody looks at is, okay, what's the who's in, who's out, you know, for tonight. But to me, it just would make sense unless you tell me that you've got a established guy on your radar that you're going to bring in. And usually, if you're going to pry a coach away from another team, it's going to cost you big money. And I just don't see that the Hawks are going to pony up for big money. Maybe Wrestler's going to be different. Certainly when the Spirit Group was here, they went the cheapest route. That's why we ended up with Drew's the head coach is, you know, they didn't want to re-up Mike Woodson, and they went with Larry Drew, the cheapest option, literally the cheapest option in the NBA they could come up with because they had no capital to work with. I don't think Tony Wrestler's in the same situation, but I also don't get the sense that they're at a point with this franchise where, and I'm not saying Phil Jackson, but a Phil Jackson type of move, that kind of move. I don't want an assistant. I don't want another guy that's sliding over the 18 inches for the first time in his chair. If you're telling me it's not Nate McMillan, it better be a guy with a real, you know, one of those types of, you know, Rick Carlisle type of guys. I'm not saying him specifically, but you understand what I'm saying as far as it better be a guy that you can go steal from another NBA franchise. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to our buddy Will Gray as round one of the Masters getting wrapped up here on what was a beautiful Thursday out here in Atlanta and in Augusta, as it's good to see, you know, the tournament back here in the springtime with all the green and all the color and pageantry of it all. We'll get Will's thoughts up next. Chuckery here, hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com, or sorry, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live here on a Thursday evening. Well, it is
Opening day at the Masters. Good to see golf back here in the state of Georgia in the springtime. Lots of storylines going into this tournament, of course, as always. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy that we always like to turn to when it comes to these big events. Our buddy Will Gray is joining us. You can check him out at NBC Sports. He does a lot of betting work and such, different content for golf, Premier League, NASCAR, and such. Follow him on Twitter at Will Gray GC. Will, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta tonight.
Yeah, happy to be back with you guys.
You know, obviously, wind has played a little bit of a factor today. The greens are obviously playing very fast. We've seen a lot of balls rolling all over the place. What else tangibly do you think is the difference between what we saw in the fall and what we're going to see this weekend?
Yeah, these are about polar opposites. What you saw in November will not be replicated this week. The 20-under par tournament scoring record that Dustin Johnson shot a few months ago. The winning score this week might be 10 under par the way they're going right now. As you mentioned, there's a little bit of wind. There's some weather factors involved, but you also have to remember that Augusta National, they've got some tricks up their sleeve. They can really control how firm and how fast the course is going to play. They can remove moisture at a moment's notice. And clearly, you know, for anyone watching on TV, these greens right now are not green. They're brown in spots, maybe a little purple. And that shows just how firm and how difficult they are playing right now. And the scores are reflecting it. You've got Justin Rose that's out to a big lead and a bit of a surprise. But other than that, anything at or under par is a really good score today.
Do you feel like, Will, that this is just a maybe like a one-day adjustment for these guys to kind of get back in the groove of playing at this time of year at Augusta? Or do you think that this is going to be something all weekend long that guys are going to be trying to navigate their way through and try to get solid footing underneath them?
A little bit is going to be in Mother Nature's hands. There's forecast says maybe you're going to get some rain Friday into Saturday, but if it's not a significant amount of rain, this is going to be a four-day storyline because it's not just that this course is playing different because it's in April as opposed to November. Talking to some of the veterans, the guys that have played here 10 and 20 years, they have to think back to when it was this firm and this difficult. They're saying, well, you know, maybe 2017, maybe 2014, but it has been several years since we've seen the course quite as difficult as it is right now. I mean, 2018, Patrick Reed was 15 under. Tiger was 13 under when he won a couple of years back. So we're used to seeing guys really take it deep. And I just don't think that's going to be the case this week. It's going to be something where it's going to be a four-day struggle, and you can have double bogey lurking at a moment's notice.
You mentioned Justin Rose out to a big lead already. What do you think has been the difference with him versus the rest of the field where he's more than double the scores already on some of the other guys?
Yeah, I have no idea what golf course he's playing, but it is not the Augusta National that the other 87 guys are facing. He is just lights out right now coming down the stretch, rolling in putts. He's almost holding some approach shots. And it's amazing to think that he's doing it this week of all weeks. I mean, we've seen him play well at this course before. Memorably, he lost that playoff to Sergio Garcia in 2017. But his health has been a real factor in the last few weeks. He had to withdraw at Bay Hill last month. He also withdrew from the Players' Championship. So we haven't even seen him in competition in over a month. So there were question marks this week about his health and even whether or not he'd be good enough to play. And now all of a sudden he's not only playing, but he's playing well enough to basically lap the field. He's about to close out a 65, and there's no score on the board better than a 69. So we're talking about Justin Rose as a leader, and it seems like he's going to have a healthy lead going into the second round.
Bryson DeChambeau, obviously one of the more polarizing guys. And if you wanted a nice kind of behind-the-scenes look at the course as far as pine straw beds and around clubhouse areas and things, he's been all over places on the course that you normally don't have cameras on. But I will say he's done a pretty good job of his short game catching up. And we know he's the biggest hitter on the tour. Does his short game, you know, do you think that over 4 days he's got enough in the chipping and putting department that if he can just keep it, you know, at least close on the fairway, that he can make some moves in this tournament?
He's taking the patron's approach. When you go to Augusta National, you want to see all the nooks and crannies. You want to get in between the trees, maybe get a good picture for Instagram and all that. But not exactly the best approach to take if you're actually playing. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Bryson this week, not only just to get back into contention, but just to make the cut tomorrow. I mean, he definitely has that ability, but it's going to take something under par. He's going to have to really straighten it out. And I just don't see him as a guy who's going to alter his game plan. He's going to continue to be aggressive. And as we saw today, that was leading to some really high variance off the tee, where he's not missing by 5 or 10 yards. He's missing by 20 or 30 yards. And eventually those sort of shots really add up quickly, especially at Augusta National. You mentioned his short game has kind of saved him a few times, and it's kept him in the mix. But I just have a hard time seeing him, or Rory McIlroy for that matter, another notable guy that's several shots over par. Rory shot 76. That's a big mountain to climb when you're facing a course as difficult as this and a field as talented as this one.
Golf analyst Will Gray joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline as we look at the first round of Masters today. Normally I ask guys like yourself for names of guys to watch out for this weekend, but one name that I enjoyed watching today, I thought Webb Simpson played really well today, and I think I look at him as a guy that if you're, you know, he's had two straight top 10 finishes, if you're looking for maybe another guy to kind of break through, he's my guy this weekend. I'll ask you about him and if there's another name that you're watching as well.
Yeah, I would go with him and another name that's tied at 2 under with him and Patrick Reed. And I like both of them because they're experienced, because they're veterans. Patrick Reed, of course, has won here before. Webb Simpson has a U.S. Open title to his credit, so he knows what it takes to win a major. But I do think that given the course conditions and given what we're going to see over the next few days, you need to have that experience on your side. You need to understand some of the subtle breaks and nuance of this course. You have to be able to handle the pressure that's only going to ratchet up from here. We've already seen what a difference it makes today, just having some patrons on the course versus in November. It was so quiet and eerie without anyone there. So it's going to start to feel more and more like a major as the weekend progresses. You're going to need a little bit of help from Justin Rose if anyone's going to catch him. Clearly, if he plays anything close to as well as he played today, he's going to be difficult to beat. But I do think that if I'm looking down the list, the guys in the top 10 that can potentially make a run, I think that Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed both have that major credit in caliber to their credit, and I think that they're both guys that could get it done.
Dustin Johnson goes from 20 under to 2 over today. What were his issues, and you know, how quickly does he get things straightened out? Can he get it done by tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a sour taste for him. He kind of got it back to even, which seemed like a pretty good score, and then he made a very sloppy double bogey on the 18th hole, and it snapped a run of 11 straight rounds for DJ at the Masters under par. So that goes to show just how difficult it's playing. The world number one really struggled throughout the day. Just didn't get in a lot of momentum. Birdies are hard to come by at this course for sure. But now all of a sudden, you know, when he was sitting there at even or one under, he's right there in the mix a couple shots off. Now all of a sudden he's going to be 9 shots behind Justin Rose heading into the second round. That's a significant deficit against the guy who has a major to his credit and has played well here before. So DJ, of all people, can figure it out. Clearly he barely broke a sweat last year, made only 4 bogeys across 72 holes, but he's going to need to find it pretty quickly during Friday's second round if he's going to get back into the mix and have realistic chances of going back-to-back.
You know, Will, we were talking a bit in our bullpen area. You know, Phil Mickelson shoots 3 over today, but just physically looking at him on the course, it is striking to see this new Phil, this new physically different looking Phil Mickelson out there. I mean, what's the genesis of that? Why did it finally just kind of kick in and say, okay, let's get my body right, let's get my physique right, and you know, I don't know if it's just trying to compete with some of the younger guys, but it is striking when you see him on the course now.
Yeah, I think to your point there at the end, that's really where it came from, that he got into his late 40s. I mean, this isn't something that came up 3 months ago. This is something that has been a couple of years in the making of, you know, just talking to him and understanding, you know, a lot of the restrictive dieting stuff that he's done and the coffee and the fasting and all sorts of things that he's tried to basically prolong his career. He more than maybe anyone else of this generation has had a leg up on Father Time to be able to, you know, play the last 20 or 30 years basically injury-free and still be able to contend and win on the PGA Tour into his late 40s. Now he's on the other side of 50. And, you know, eventually it catches up to everyone. It seems to be catching up to Phil a little bit. The results are starting to slide. He's outside the top 100 in the world rankings for the first time in his career. But I think he looked at some of the physical stuff and he thought, all right, this is going to be a way for me to maybe buy another 2 or 3 years of competitive ability, that eventually, you know, you're going to hit that slide. It happens in every sport. It happens to every athlete. But I think that he really looked at it as, this is a way for me to, instead of you know, deteriorating at 49, maybe I can push it to 52 or 53 and just buy a little bit of extra time because he's so, so much of a strong competitor. He loves being in the mix at these big tournaments, at the majors, especially at Augusta National, where he's had so much success. And that's where I think you saw so many of those radical changes that have resulted in those physical changes that we see now.
Well, I want to ask you before we get out of here, this study about distance that is kind of the internet buzz, if you will, about the fact that, you know, guys are hitting it, you know, longer and further and you know, course designers are having trouble keeping up with guys in the distance. They were talking about some of the courses that have gone in the last handful of years, some 7,000-yard courses to 7,600. What do you make of it? To be honest with you, I think it's a lot ado about nothing, but it is interesting. I mean, just in reading and just, you know, the way the evolution of the game, I guess, has evolved.
I will say that it is catnip for golf content people like me. Listen, this is the topic that I feel like we've been talking about this for 10 years and nothing really has changed. They're getting a little bit longer. Clearly, Bryson is doing it on a different level than everyone else, but I just don't think that this is a topic that's going to go away anytime soon. I mean, there's a large contingent and a groundswell that is calling for, you know, sweeping overhaul of golf course architecture, and we need to roll back the ball and roll back equipment. I mean, I don't see that happening anytime soon. There's a lot of people with skin in the game that want to make sure that they're still, you know, churning out brand new equipment that's going to make it go longer and farther for guys like you and me, let alone the guys that are on tour. You know, we're talking about it, if the ball is going too far, of the top, you know, 0.01% of the game. And, you know, does the ball go too far for a 7 handicap? Probably not. Does the ball go too far on the LPGA? Definitely not. So it's a nuanced topic. It's not one with a lot of easy solutions. And I do think that it's something that, listen, if we have this interview next year for the Masters, I'm sure we're still going to be talking about it.
On Twitter, at Will Gray GC. He's always our guy we go to when it's time for one of the big golf tournaments. Will Gray, join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. Enjoy the Masters this weekend.
You as well. Always good catching up with you guys.
You got it. We'll be back. John Chuckery on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.